Our weekly series, Hidden Kitchens, is a search across the country, uncovering recipes, rituals, and now an archive tucked away for more than half a century. Turns out we're not the first people to do this. Producer Jamie York and the Kitchen Sisters listen to the voices of America Eats.
Message 15 was received at 5 p.m. Tuesday.
Hello, this is Mark Kurlansky. I wanted to call to talk to you about America Eats, which was this massive project in the 1930s by the WPA.
Why'd you like Roosevelt? We're no kin.
A whole assortment of writers, people like Nelson Algren, Saul Bellow, Richard Wright, but also housewives, tried to look into this very idea of hidden kitchens, finding out what Americans eat in the 1930s.
There was no escaping the Depression. I've been saying throughout my long life that money and love take on their greatest significance when they're totally absent. Same is true of food. Food becomes most important when there isn't any.
August 27, 1939. Stetson Kennedy, interviewer, operator.
The name is Stetson Kennedy, born in Jacksonville, 1916. During the WPA, I was appointed state director for oral history and ethnic studies. I wrote for the projected volume America Eats. We had a staff of something like 200 field workers just in Florida.
I'm Rick Kogan, senior writer for the Chicago Tribune. When I was growing up, my parents were close friends with Nelson Algren in Chicago. This is an excerpt from something Nelson wrote for America Eats. These are the blue plate specials, the streamlined steaks and the laborer's lunch pail, passed on an endless boarding house table from a brave in buckskin to a blue turban voyager, from a coonskin Yankee to a drawling steamboat man, from a Negro fish vendor to an Irish section hand. Many foods, many nations, yet one food, one nation.
America Eats Project was part of the New Deal, and they were looking for work for writers. It was supposed to be something like 70,000-word book. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of words of writing they collected. It was stashed all over the place. I'm Mark Kurlansky. I'm a writer. It was about following food to find America.
My name is John T. Edge, director of the Southern Foodways Alliance, the University of Mississippi in Oxford. Many people know the photographs that came out of that time, Dorothy Lange and Walker Evans, but there were also writers out there cataloging American food culture. The one that resonates most with me is the political barbecue piece, Bluebill Yancey with a head like a cypress knee. Uncle Si sells lemonade from a plank nailed between two trees. Ice cold lemonade made in the shade, stirred with
right
a spade.
Right this way, we pink lemonade made in the shade and stirred with a spade. I recall seeing bushel baskets of lemons, and they had two before with a hinge so that they could squeeze a dozen lemons at a time.
Ohio rabbit fries, Coca-Cola parties in Georgia, foot washing dinners all over the country, wherever there are Baptists. And it talks about America through miners' lunch buckets. And they make a point of how New England baked beans and Indian pudding and gingerbread and all these molasses-based dishes are a product of the slave trade.
In southern Indiana as well as in southern Illinois, chicken is still referred to as the gospel bird. This is a hangover from days when circuit-riding preachers came visiting. It was customary to serve the gospel man a chicken, hence the name.
Hoe cake, crackling bread, persimmon beer, possum and taters. All these recipes still, to me, telegraph some meaning that says, I'm eating low on the hog, I'm eating close to the farm, putting a rosy glow on a hungry world.
One story I picked up was on the chain gang in the penitentiaries and prison farms. The trick was to keep them alive and working with the least expense possible. I was recording a group, and they said, this was our chain gang theme song. I don't want no cornbread omelet.
Mississippi writer Eudora Welty goes out for the America Eats project. Zora Neale Hurston goes out to a turpentine camp in Florida where they're serving up kind of a trencherman's breakfast.
My name is Zora Neale Hurston, and I'm at Boswood, Florida. That's turpentine still there.
Well, you know, it was Zora Neale Hurston who said, I've been in sorrow's kitchen and licked out all the pots. Zora Neale Hurston, the black novelist, folklorist. I was nominally serving as her boss on the Florida WPA Writers Project. In those days of Jim Crow apartheid, it was unthinkable for a black-white team, much less male-female, go around in public working on anything. So we had to send Zora ahead by herself. Then I would follow up with the recording machine. She had to look for black restaurants, and she frequently slept in her beat-up Chevy.
America Eats Project was scheduled to be published in 1942. World War II broke out, and they just dropped it. The WPA projects were replaced by building ships and tanks. Just by investigating what America eats, you learn so much about immigration, hidden history, and what this country was.
In the end, materials that were collected ends up in a filing cabinet in the Library of Congress and the State Archives. Great writing dies a miserable death in a filing cabinet. It needs to be exhumed and celebrated.
This is something from Arizona Writers Project, Edward P. Ware. The Feast of the Christening is a ceremony of the Hopi Indians of Arizona. On the 20th day of the baby's life, up to which time the sun is not supposed to have shone upon it, the infant is washed in yucca root, cornmeal, and the pollen of flowers. It is then carried to the edge of a mesa. There, with the sun shining full upon it, the baby is touched with the ear of corn. Then, for the christening feast, mutton, rich cornmeal pudding filled with peach seed kernels.
It ought to be a responsibility of the society to record and preserve, perpetuate its culture. We were like a bunch of kids on a treasure hunt. It was fun.
Hidden Kitchens is a national collaboration produced by Nikki Silva and Davia Nelson, the Kitchen Sisters, as well as Jay Allison. Archival photos, oral histories, and recipes from the America Eats Project are at npr.org.